everyone. We are back with the next episode of the Raiders Rambles. I am Jolt, chief host of the show, and today our co-host Avira is unable to join us at the moment. He's not feeling 100%, and I wish him well and a speedy recovery. So today I will be joined by my interim host, Noble.
Morning, everyone.
Well, credits to that. You sounded less lazier than before. Wow.
I had breakfast.
Who knew what breakfast could do a world of good, hey?
Yeah.
All right. Next on the show, we have Maligos.
Back at it again, huh?
It's always great to have you on board.
Likewise.
Next on the show, we have the mighty Red Wolf.
And I just wanted to give a little bit of a shout out to Magma Wolf, aka Aaron. Hey, I see you, babe. Oh my God, why do you think I'm cute? Oh,
why is Mighty Red Wolf the cutest thing ever?
Why does everyone think I'm cute? But anyways, what's up, Furry World? I'm back again.
Pleasure to have you again, as always. And joining us for the first time ever, we have Crypt.
Good evening, everybody. It's a good time to be here. It's nice to be here with you all, and I'm excited for this stream. You know, I'm excited for all the stuff we're going to talk about.
Yeah. And since you know we're having you for the first time ever, tell us a little bit more about yourself. You know, what's your persona? How did you get into here in furry?
So my sona is a frankenbeast comprised of fox and wolf fur, and skeletal other body parts of random creatures. As far as Crypt's story goes, he's come a long way. He was born into a world where everything is either dead or undead, and you have to fight for, you know, your right to exist in that world, let alone live. And it's basically just a gigantic pit of survival. As for, you know, where I came up with the concept of him, I really love Halloween. It's an obsession, not an addiction. There's a difference. if you believe such thing. And I remember stumbling upon this cat skull mask on the internet. And I was like, ooh, I really like that. I was like, well, what can I do to kind of make something from that, you know? And out of that, I just kind of put Crypt together. And as for his backstory of him, you know, being part different animal parts and stuff, I actually piecemealed the suit from different areas around the world. See, I was in the military before all this started, and every time we go to a new spot, I'd order, you know, from a different place that would be a part of his suit. So, for instance, the gloves are from Russia, the mask is from Australia, and the sweater is from, I think, New York or Maine, one of the two. And then the tail is from here, Florida. And the legs are from California.
Nice. Awesome stuff. I mean, I can tell you I Frankenstein my suit as well.
I believe the term is piecemealing, but yes.
Yeah, I mean, my bodysuit and feet were made in California, while the rest of my suit was made in Argentina. And, well, except for my tail, which I bought off Etsy from an American. But it worked. The color synced quite well.
So, how much did that cost you to piecemeal everything?
About $1,200.
That sounds about right.
I almost gave up on the suit because on the head and stuff, because on the sheer virtue that it was made in Argentina, I couldn't get it down here to Australia.
I love Australia. I was there for only 4 days, and I am currently planning to go over there and retire. Like, I want to live there, and I want to die there. That place is amazing.
You love it. You will love it. So, all right, one last comment before we start on the show. Junie says, why is my name on the title? Bruh! Bruh! This wasn't a shout-out to you. This was, you'll tune in and you'll see later why. Because I did the naming. Anyway, shall we dig right into it?
Yes, we shall.
Yeah.
So, last week we had a big pop gaming event. There's no an expo of upcoming games and whatnot called E3. And well, what can you say? Like, what? How did you guys start off? Like, what did you guys think of some of the exhibits on display?
The one thing that I am most excited for has to be Elden Ring. It has to be. Miyazaki is a legend. He's a fucking legend at his craft. Anytime you hear his name, people I've noticed that there are some teens out there who have never witnessed like Dark Souls before. But whenever they hear his name, they already know what's going on. This man's name is a legend. He has immortalized himself within his work. And I've got to say, if you look at, you know, starting from Dark Souls 1 or even further, Demon Souls, looking back at how that was compared to what it is now, he's come a long way. And they've learned a lot, too, with the gameplay with Sekiro. What they've done is they've kind of mixed Dark Souls and Sekiro together to create this hybrid of a game. It's going to be amazing. I can just tell. The hype is real for sure. Another thing that they've added was the horse. That's going to be a part of the vertical, because they wanted you to get a little bit more vertical with your exploration. Bosses, brand new bosses, brand new creatures, enhanced graphics for the new consoles, of course. It's going to be great.
Awesome. And speaking of that sort of stuff, with the Bandai Namco, they didn't have much, but that was literally their shining, their ace in the hole.
That really was. And it's one hell of an ace, man. I'm telling you. That's all everybody was wagging out over.
It's going to be well worth it.
Honestly, and yeah, exactly. And this guy, he sets the bar high. When it comes to expectations, and even more towards storytelling, this man is legendary. As I said, every time you hear this man's name, it just sends ripples through reality. It's crazy.
Yeah, I know people love the From Software stuff, the Souls games. Yeah.
I believe it was Dark Souls, Armored Core. Armored Core was another one that's been kind of, it's an IP that's been kind of put to sleep after a while. But everybody keeps on nudging them to make another comeback with it.
Bloodborne, Sekiro.
Bloodborne. I forgot about that. I don't understand how I forgot about that.
Sekiro as well.
Hmm. Well, yeah, they're blending Sekiro with this game. You know, they kind of learned from it, and they decided to kind of incorporate it into this next game. And I'm really excited to see how that turns out.
All right. So what if, you know? Let's move on to the next, the other exhibits as well. We had Xbox's exhibit, and dude, I just wanted to say, what have they done with the Halo?
Go ahead, you got this.
Okay, first things first.
Cortana
looks absolutely shit in the new Halo. What the hell did they turn Cortana into?
Like, can we get a screenshot of this? Can we pull that up on screen?
I'm onto it.
Like, seriously, you look at Halo Combat Evolved. Look at Halo 2. Look at Halo 3. Hell, even Halo 4 Cortana looks sexy. She looks beautiful. I mean, that was the key thing that made a lot of people like Cortana was, she looked hot. You know,
she looks Asian in this one.
I mean, yeah. In this one, they basically, like, I don't know how you managed to fuck up Cortana, but you did. Basically, took everything that was good from Cortana and turned her into a regular, normal, bland NPC.
You know what it is? I know exactly what it is. So it's the same thing with Mass Effect. I don't know if you guys heard about those headlines, but they decided to crop out some booty shots of who was it? Ashley? Miranda.
Miranda.
They ended up changing some of that. It's the censorship that's going on. We've got a bunch of, it's the SJWs, and it's the, who else? Yeah, it's mainly SJWs.
It, it is the basically they didn't want to show off Miranda's hotter side.
Yeah,
a certain group of people are going to complain about it.
That doesn't make any sense, though.
That they're
go ahead.
That they're sexually objectifying women, which is true. But then again, who cares? Like, seriously, Cortana is supposed to be like a more. It's her feature, man. Like,
right,
just
and I'll show you the Halo 4 one, right? Like, because in Halo 4, you told me.
Yeah, even in Halo 4, even though Halo 4 is like a very okay game in story wise compared to other Halo games,
it looks flawless though.
Cortana there at least looks great. She looks like
she looks
you can
sleek.
See her. You can see her lines. You know her sex appeal.
Yeah,
it's there. And then
realism there.
And then you switch over to Halo Infinite Cortana. And it's just gone. Everything is gone. She
all
looks
of
just
it
like
gone.
She just looks like a normal NPC. And I'm like,
Cortana has never worn clothes. Can we just bring that up for a second? Look up Halo 1's Cortana. She has never worn clothes.
Well, that's the thing about it. Cortana isn't a woman. Cortana is
exactly.
an AI.
Exactly.
And AI, I guess AI doesn't need clothes. But here, for some reason, they managed to make Cortana look
like she's basically a space attendant in uniform.
Yeah, like
yeah. She doesn't even have any kind of. She looks very bland. Like there is no distinct feature that would make look like Cortana other than the short hair. And
Shout out to Inu Okami. I'm definitely not surprised. Okay, I'm not surprised at all because they've managed or the SJWs and the basically cancel culture in general has managed to weave its way into every facet of what? The media? The news and the media? Yeah, media.
Even games. Yeah. Even video games now.
Video games, movies.
Anime is going there as well. Like
we'll get to that. We will get to that soon. Anime, we will get to that soon. But
so, in other words, what you're saying is that Halo's gone the way of Pokemon.
Yep. It's Halo, yeah. Mass Effect, it's everywhere. The only places that it doesn't touch is when none of that stuff has any precedence.
Oh, yeah. Probably D&D's. Private D&D sessions, I would say. But even those are trying to creep into it.
I don't understand why they're doing that, though. Why did it matter? Why does it matter so much?
When they look themselves in the mirror, they hate themselves. So they, project their own insecurity onto things like naked Cortana.
That's dumb. That's just so dumb. If you're so insecure about yourself, do something about it. Don't make everybody else's life more miserable over it. God damn. That's so weak-minded.
Welcome to 2021. Trying to tell people to change themselves to basically feel
okay. Probably good time we move on.
We've got a couple other exhibits too. Like, well, I think we can all kind of agree Nintendo was the real winner.
Oh yeah.
Yep, without a doubt.
Because I feel like Nintendo, maybe like not Nintendo of America specifically, but Nintendo still makes games in the factor that they don't actually like try to do like cutting edge graphics like PlayStation and Xbox do. They basically, all of them, they focus on the gameplay, and that's basically what made Breath of the Wild good. It's basically what's going to make Metroid Dread. Speaking of Metroid Dread, that's probably the highlight of the E3, I would say. And it's for a good reason, though, because Metroid Dread has been in development for more than a decade. Believe it or not.
So, and it's going to be, you know, like grandiose in scale. And I mean, not that I played a Metroid game, but
I mean, you've played Metroidvania game before, right? You played Dust and Elysian Tail.
Yeah, some of the games like those.
That
Dust and Elysian Tail was legendary as well.
Yeah, that's basically Metroidvania. Well,
yeah, it was a Metroidvania.
Isn't the guy who made Dust? Isn't the guy that made Dust the same dude that made was it Will of the Wisps?
No, I don't think so. But Will of the Wisps is a Metroidvania type game as well.
Definitely, yeah. I've played. If it's Ori and the Will of the Wisps, then yes, it is.
So yeah.
Now Metroid is the first game that invented the sort of that sort of started the Metroid style type of style.
But we're interested at the moment. What we're interested in is how that kind of won over Nintendo. Maybe won E3 over to Nintendo.
Well, mainly it was the Metroid Metroid Dread. And also Breath of the Wild 2's teaser. They're confirmed that the next year Breath of the Wild 2 is coming out. And seeing the Breath of the Wild 1 being an amazing game, it is. People are expecting Breath of the Wild 2.
Definitely hyped for that. Definitely. And of course, what about the rest? You still have that your usual lineup from the Super Mario games.
Oh yeah, the new Super Smash Brothers character is Kazuya, apparently, from Tekken.
I mean, let's be real here. Franchises like Super Mario, Pokemon, those are going to be their playing cards for all time because it goes all the way back to the classics.
A lot of people remember the classics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, up until they actually really screw things up, it goes
before they became before they became woke.
Right, but the thing is, Pokemon, you would think Pokemon had a lot to show considering it is this year their 25th anniversary.
Yeah.
And so much more. So.
I mean, Pokemon, let's be honest, Pokemon's Sword and Shield, a lot of fans actually felt a little disappointed by that game.
Well, they're running out of ideas, bro.
Because it really wasn't anything that was like different. Also, they said like the battles were like way too easy. Like basically, the entire game was like didn't feel like.
Okay, so for Pokemon Sword and Shield, it didn't feel like Pokemon.
What did it feel like? Just
bizarre. You didn't have that, you couldn't sit there and enjoy yourself a lot of the time. There was either a lot of grinding or there was extensive storylines. I mean, the wild area is definitely a nice idea, but it just gets old or stupid after a while. I mean, the last game I played of Pokemon that was any real good was Ultra Sword and Shield. And that's only because they had a shit ton of Pokemon in that one.
Well, the last game for Pokemon for me that was good was Heart Gold.
For me, I think it was Soul Silver.
Well, Heart Gold, Soul Silver are both of the same games.
Oh,
yeah, it is the same.
Honestly, I think the story of Lugia was amazing. I really wish they would have brought Pokemon Gale of Darkness into some Switch action. That would have been gold. You know that game goes for $120 on the market?
Yeah, Pokemon games tend to be quite expensive. Even like I saw like Black Edition be like $60. The DS version of it being like the $60 on eBay. Like way overpriced for like a game that came out 13 years ago.
Yeah, but maybe there is some collectors out there that will pay that kind of price for something that vintage.
Pokemon Black and White had a very deep storyline, something that the Pokemon company hasn't done since.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Pokemon Black and White were pretty decent.
Maybe that's why. I haven't played it. Maybe that's why it's so expensive.
What about Pokken Tournament?
Eh.
It's basically Soul Calibur for Pokemon, isn't it?
It's more like Tekken. They literally call it Pokken. It's a mixture between Pokemon and Tekken.
Pretty sure one of the guys that worked on the Tekken franchise had something to do with it as well, to give that more sort of realistic look.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know what's really funny is that I was actually in Japan when that game was still an arcade game. I got to play it before everybody else in America did. It was great.
Before it even came to the Wii U's and stuff.
Yeah, so before they came out with Pokken for like the Switch and the Wii's and all that stuff, it was an arcade game that you could like just put a quarter in, put a Japanese quarter in and play it.
And mash the sticks.
Yeah, you mash the sticks, then you had like one round. You got one round. Oh, and there were like lines of the arcade at the arcade. There was lines of these arcade boxes, right? And if you wanted to, you could actually connect to the arcade box next to you and play with a friend. It was pretty cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you could choose a bunch of Pokemon. I always chose Lucario because, you know, Lucario's the shit. It'd be my main.
Of course. Lucario's kind of a mascot for furries.
I mean, it's more for me. I'm into like Dragon Ball Z and stuff. And well, as I look at the show, Magikarp. The reason why Lucario is my favorite is because like I'm into Dragon Ball Z and stuff. And when I watch Pokemon, Lucario is always in your face throwing hands. You know. You can catch the meanest save, Lucario.
Oh, yes. Speaking of, just want to go back to Xbox section, Joel. Joel, what do you think about Forza Horizon 5 trailer?
Well, it definitely looked interesting. And I know everybody in the Forza community was like begging them, you know, put Japan in. No, instead, they went and said, hold my tequila.
If I'm being honest, looking at the game, I think it's just going to be another microtransaction-ridden thing. I honestly think that the heart of Forza is dead.
After Forza 3, which is, by the way, ironic because Forza 3, you can't buy it anymore.
I mean, Microsoft has been, you know, putting end-of-life stuff on their old games for a reason I don't know why. Forza Horizon 3, you can't get any more on
licensing.
PC.
I think it's because of licensing. They couldn't bother extending the license, so they just made it unavailable to buy.
I don't know. Like, they just said it was end of life. Now we can't buy Forza Horizons 2 and 3 anymore on the digital shop fronts.
I surely think it's licensing issue.
Yeah, but now number 4 is going to be end of life in like maybe 2022, 23. I don't know. But Horizon 5...
It's
going
to move on to the next big thing.
Horizon 5, not too bad. I just want to wrap this up by saying, you know, it's really graphically impressive. You know, they've added a greater scale of it. I'm still
going
looking forward to it.
It's going to be for the new consoles.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's also going to be on PC as well.
It is.
I really feel like it's not going to have that much content to it. Like, it's just going to be some microtransactional bullshit.
Could be. By the way, also retaining with the Xbox One, I think my favorite thing that I'm mostly hyped up is Stalker 2.
I have not indulged in that franchise, actually.
Stalker is a very special franchise. It's basically Fallout, but much more... I would say probably much more... not realistic, I would say, but... More, it's kind of a bit different. It's more RPG-ish, I would say, rather than action. And I know Stalker 2 has been in development for years and years and years. Like, it's been in development for a long time, and now I finally see a release date, and I'm like, whoa! And by the way, the game itself looks awesome. And if it's true, and if it becomes as moddable and as fun as Stalker 1 is, like what Connor said, Stalker is Russian Fallout. It's basically that, Russian Fallout.
I thought that was Metro, lol.
Metro is more...
I guess I digress.
No, no. Metro is more action oriented than Stalker. Stalker is more RPG.
Fair enough. Anyway, I digress though. But yeah. So what do you guys think? Should we go for one last thing, or shall we move on to the next item?
I mean, let's actually be honest here. Who actually liked? Did anyone actually ever watch Ubisoft? Oh
no, I didn't.
Oh, good.
Because I think the only thing that they had, everybody was hyping up, was Mario plus Rabbids, and that was it.
But they didn't release a Cubic Ninja for the Switch.
I mean, they had. Let me just summarize what their games are bland, to say the least. Far Cry 6, basically the only thing it had was that actor from Breaking Bad. It's probably the pinpoint they were like aiming at, and also the fact that it's gonna have season pass and you get to play from all the villains from the previous game, including Voss from Far Cry 3. So it's like, so they're basically fan servicing now and tempting you to buy the entire season pass, which is it's I see through it. Through that anyway, like I'm still not gonna buy. And they also like announced,
Assassin's Creed is just like their go-to.
They're milking Assassin's Creed Valhalla more. I mean, Assassin's Creed hasn't been good since 3, I think. Like four was pretty good, but then afterwards they just like. Series 1 completely downhill.
But as far as other things go, the one thing I don't like about Ubisoft is their two-toned approach to politics. Their two-faced approach, rather.
Oh, yeah. And just
then, like they said, Far Cry 6 was a great example. It says it's something-something, but, we're making a
just
about it, but, yeah.
It's funny how Just Dance, they represented, like, two games. Was it, like, Rocksmith, the Rocksmith game and Just Dance game, two games which have a very, very thin crowd. Like, you're at the E3, you're showing off games, and what do you have to show off? You're showing off Just Dance, which is like a game where like very, very small percentage of people are gonna play. Like,
Yeah, but still, it's one of Ubisoft's most common things that they
and also for the fact that they made in Just Dance trailer, they made some guy that has a typical gay voice, a gay voice like this, you know what I'm saying?
Anyway,
I mean, we all know that Ubisoft's like completely woke.
While we're talking about Ubisoft, let's talk about what they did with Sam Fisher from Splinter Cell. Do you guys see the last premiere that they did with him, where they showed him in like the art? There was like a piece of art that was kind of referenced towards Overwatch, and it had Sam Fisher in it from Splinter Cell. I was like, oh god, no! Please no! Please no!
Do you seriously think that even if they make a new Splinter Cell game, do you seriously think that it's going to live up to the standards of the older
series? No, I don't want them to. No. I really don't want them to at all.
They bring back even that game, what was like, what's that game with the open world with the evil something?
That's the point, though. All their games are open world as of late. That's why they haven't come out with a Splinter Cell game. Look at the aspects that they come out with their games. If you look at a Splinter Cell game versus the games come out with now, you can't microtransaction it. No one's going to run around with a piece.
Let's
make this quick and wrap this up. We're going to move on.
I was thinking of Beyond Good and Evil, by the way.
But that's still, in limbo for God knows how long. they keep telling us, it's going to come out, but it's still in limbo. So,
even if it's like come out, it's gonna be live service shit. It's probably have 300 seasons passes
online. It's gonna be an epic failure.
So just don't hope for it. Anything that has a Ubisoft title, don't hope for it.
All right. Coolio. So, that took a while. We had, yeah, I know there's a lot of presses to cover, but I think that's pretty much it. So, Boombox says, you know, if you want to talk about Rags, get Rags on here someday. You know, we'd love to think of it. Like, we had Rags 3 years ago, and we'd love to have him back on if it's possible. So, you know, stay tuned. We might make it happen again. But, yeah. All right. So, next segment is our namesake title. Now, what have these two fantasies, Lord of the Rings and The Witcher, have in common? That they want to get into the anime market. So let's start with the Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings anime feature fast track by New Line Cinema and Warner Brothers Animation.
I don't think that settings such as The Witcher and Lord of the Rings really belong in the anime market. If you think
it's not gonna work.
No, don't say that, because there's still, you remember Guts.
Yeah.
And there's also Demon Slayer and stuff like that. On top of that, Goblin Slayer. Demon Slayer is actually, I mean, that's kind of a different vibe altogether. It could work. It could work if they tackle it correctly.
Yeah, that's the thing, is they have to put it together right, because, you know, there's a lot of Lord of the Rings fans out there. So if they're going to do something that's going to piss them off, the fandom's just going to, like, fall apart for them anyway. So they're all just going to get pissed off at this new series.
But you guys... I'll just say that you guys do know that they're making... There's actually two Lord of the Rings series in production. This one, and then there's the Amazon one.
Yeah, we talked about that one. I think, what, was it 2 weeks ago, I think, Joel?
Yeah, and I know, like, they're doing a lot with Lord of the Rings at the moment. Some which are, you know, very, very questionable.
I just wonder what Tolkien would have said.
No, you wouldn't like this one, but I think Tolkien is really going to be spinning in his grave.
What's going on?
With the way that the current, you know, what they're doing with the Lord of the Rings at the moment.
Me and entertainment-wise, they are. It does feel like they are milking the franchise a bit.
I think it's more about saving money, because if you think about it, it would cost less to make an animation over paying somebody and doing a bunch of computer stuff. Just to try and make the world fit into place.
Right, but again, why choose an anime theme thing for something like Lord of the Rings, where it's got, you know, six live action movies, and, you know, and it's been made into a cartoon once, like in the old days.
I just wish that they would actually leave some franchises, like they would just leave them alone and never. Like, I think Lord of the Rings has had far, far too much. I'd say, like, far too much usage. Like, you had the first three movies, which were, by the way, considered one of the best movies ever made. Then you had The Hobbit, which was not
that. I thought The Hobbit was pretty decent. It had that
was good,
but it wasn't as good as the other three movies, right?
Well, I mean, of course, nothing's ever going to be as good as the originals, because when the originals came, they had that thunder, man. The originals will always steal the thunder of the next big thing, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
You just can't beat it.
The thing is, at the moment, anime is doing pretty damn good.
True.
Yeah, that's...
What?
That's the reason why they're doing this all.
Yeah, no, that's the reason why companies usually turn around and go down a particular path, because they see something being popular and they think, oh, that'll help us make some money, when in general fact, if they don't deploy it properly, it just basically causes them to crash even harder. Think Gillette.
Yeah. Now, in this case, though, we're chasing trends as well. Like, they're seeing that anime is popular in the United States way more than, you know, Hollywood. What Hollywood has to spit out.
Oh, hold on here. Ooh, yeah. You know what? Liz Dixon there makes a good point there. Like, yeah, you should just leave it alone, because if you can't beat the original, why are you going to change it?
It's not about changing it. It's about...
if you looked at what's happening with the Amazon's Mega series, it might be, you know. But to be honest with you, I'm not going to put much stock in them respecting Tolkien's literary legacy. Hence,
after the whole Star Wars fiasco thing.
Oh my god,
this is probably not a good idea.
I agree with you fully. I honestly hope that it doesn't turn out like that, because they made George Lucas hate his own creation. Does anybody here grasp how hard it is for someone to do that?
It's 2021. It's very easy nowadays.
Was the new Star Wars animation the one they're making where the co-pilot is a fucking rock?
No.
That's another one.
That was thrown in the trash can a while ago. No, the one that they're doing right now is called The Bad Batch. Now that show is pretty fire, I think, in my opinion.
I'm enjoying it, to be honest.
I am too. It's pretty. Oh, in fact, they've got an episode out today. It's a brand new episode. They come out every Friday.
Got it on my to watch list at the moment.
I kind of figured as much. If you both watch it,
I mean, me. All right. So, what was her name? Kathleen Kennedy, right? I personally don't think that George Lucas should have handed her the throne. I think that he should have handed Dave Filoni the throne, because this man.
Hey! Disney owns this now. Disney.
Nah. All right. So, Dave Filoni, if you look at the stuff that he's done for this franchise, he cares. He really does. He's the one that made The Mandalorian. George was right there beside him, but he's the one that called the shots. He would look to George for advice, and then would go like his story flow with this franchise is ridiculous, and he's helping with the Bad Batch right now. He leads Bad Batch. Every time Dave Filoni steps into the fray in place of George Lucas, sales are being made. Now, of course, Kathleen is going to be stuck, you know, as the owner of LucasArts, because that's what was given to her, and her name is obviously going to be embedded into every credential. But I personally don't think that she cared for the franchise as much as George did, as much as Dave does. You know what I mean?
This needs to be a big lesson to the Lord of the Rings franchise.
Yes.
The people behind it. Yes. Don't fuck it up.
Well, it's more than that. Don't make sure that your story flow is good. Everything's about the story flow. If the story's trash, nobody's going to care how good it looks or how good it sounds. All right. If that's as far as the praise goes, then the story, then it just doesn't matter. Sales never lie. Money never lies.
Where they could go horribly wrong, which is the path that most Star Wars franchises have sort of.
Jolt.
Yo.
Do you think that they're gonna do some blackwashing or something to the Lord of the Rings? Like, instead of like.
Now. That's what I'm worried about, more so with the Amazon adaptation of the Lord of the Rings, the mega series.
That sounds awkward.
The anime that they're producing, I'm not 100% certain about it. Because it depends on who's really in charge of the studios. Like, you know, it really does.
If they're going to do something like that, I really hope that they take a lesson learned from Castlevania, the anime. The final season was flawless. Oh my gosh, I cannot imagine how much that must have cost.
For example, imagine if Theoden, like, for instance, is black.
Well, gosh, that would just be a major, you know. It'd be great for everybody. Says, oh, look at us now. Look at how the dwarves are depicted and so on. Yeah, no. I think it's just going to cause, like, it's going to be jarring.
Does anyone know if Lord of the Rings have people who are working on the current show who are good at storytelling?
I personally not
I don't
sure.
know. I really don't I, know either.
I don't know if they got anybody with Tolkien's flair, though. Tolkien had a very defined flow with that type of culture, you know, medieval times themed culture.
Hello. I don't know. Now, but I'd like to skip through because there's another fantasy series that's going to be given the anime treatment. Netflix's The Witcher anime, Nightmare of the Wolf, to be directed by The Last Airbender's Kwang Il-han.
Now, when we say The Last Airbender, are we talking about the movie or the anime? That makes all the difference right there.
Yeah, we gotta know what's what here.
If we're talking about the movie, I don't have high hopes for this anime. Because the movie just didn't... The movie was too rushed. But if we're talking about the anime of The Last Airbender, not Korra, we're talking about the guy who made Avatar The Last Airbender, the anime. This show could be fire. It really could. This man's storylining was just as on point as what it might be with this anime. I'm not certain. Was there any clarification on the specific Avatar origination? Was it the anime or was it the movie? Do we know?
I think Kwang Il-han is an animator, if anything. So this would be The Last Airbender, the anime.
Okay. Yeah. No.
Okay.
This
might be good then.
Yeah. This is going to be really good.
Is it the same writer as the one that wrote the original one?
That's what we're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. It is.
Okay.
So now The Witcher has been kind of branching out because it's got a TV series on Netflix, and now you know they've decided, you know, let's branch out, let's try anime.
I mean that would actually work. I think that would actually work because as it said, this is about Vesemir, and if people have played Witcher 3. And finished it, by the way, because I know a lot of people played Witcher 3, but how many people have finished Witcher 3? That's the idea. But Vesemir is a very interesting character, like throughout the Witcher series.
Very, very well developed, too.
So him instead of Geralt being a center figure, I would watch that actually. As long as they, of course, keep to the book material and they don't like start throwing woke things.
I guess we'll have to just see when it comes out.
But I mean, the Witcher TV Netflix one was actually good. So I think this one should be good as well. I definitely have high hopes for the Witcher anime rather than the Lord of the Rings one.
I would agree. I'd have to agree with you too. And, you know, and it's most certainly to do, you know, Witcher's at an all-time high in popularity as well. You know, the game, TV series, the card game Gwent, so much more.
I mean, Witcher is written by Polish guy. That's pretty based.
Yes. Definitely. But overall, though, yeah, what do you think, though? What do you think of these series as stepping into anime, just as a overall thing?
Honestly, as I said, the creator of The Last Airbender, he's very good with his story writings, and it would not surprise me if this anime actually seemed pretty decent. The Witcher was in a video game. If they turn it into a live action show, which I mean obviously they did. When they did so though, their sales went up by like 4,000%. With them recruiting the creator of The Last Airbender, the anime, I honestly think that they've left it into the right hands at least. You're talking about a dude that knows how to organize his chapters, that knows how to make, you know, characters likable. you know, and knows how to make them diverse without overshadowing anybody.
And keep in mind, Witcher is actually based on the book.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the TV show is more closer to the book than the game.
Yeah, like, considering artistic freedoms and such, then, yeah. But what otherwise... These
places need to realize is that it's not the medium you use, it's the stories you tell.
True.
And when you tell empty, shallow stories, people are basically going to switch off. So, yeah, stop focusing on what's popular.
You know, go with
focus
the creativity.
On originality. Yeah. Yes.
Originality and creativity.
Call of Duty is a good example. It has lost all of its originality. Hmm. People used to rip them off, and now they're sitting there trying to go with the trends.
Yeah, side tangent. But other than that, though, yeah. So I guess that's that for the for the anime segment. So I guess now we move on to the real reason why Crypt is here. Yeah, you've got something to promote.
Yeah, actually, I've been in school learning animation for some time now. I don't necessarily work with any of the 2D stuff. I'm primarily 3D animation. As of late, whenever I have time, I've been working on a project that features my fursona, Crypt, as one of the main characters. It's going to be here. Let me go. Shall I share my screen?
All right, I'll approve it. Get your stuff ready first, and then I'll clear the page for you.
I've got this. I'm just going to make sure that I have all my projects. So, yep, I've got that. I've got that. I don't want to reveal too much because I'll reveal just enough to show you guys my progress, but I don't want to reveal all the characters and stuff. I have so many characters that I'm going to toss into this series. So as I said before, Crypt is part. Or wait, okay, cool. My screen share is active.
Okay. Show us the file. Show us. All right. Okay. Go. So what we're looking at here, like, is this a rendering of a model of your skull?
Yes. So this is a fresh model of Crypt's face. And so this is just only one part of his actual character. This is his overall character.
Yeah.
I have multiple mock-ups, multiple versions. I'm sitting here trying to decide which version I want, but one thing that they all have in common is the face. Another thing that they have is the hands. Let me go ahead and set down my phone so I can kind of move it around. If you guys have any questions, I am more than happy to answer.
Yeah, I've got a few regarding being in the world of modeling, actually.
The world of modeling?
Yeah, are these all renders that you've made, Autodesk Maya, and
they're not renders, they're just models right now. A render will have much more details.
Okay. So, that has the texture all fleshed in and such.
Well, I've actually got a kind of a good question, though. With all these 3D models, have you ever thought about, like, 3D printing them, maybe?
Oh, no. Well, I mean, I have, but the thing is, I already have the materials to make the character. Like, I already have a fursuit. I don't need any of the 3D printed models. What I want is I want to 3D animate. I want to, there's those movies that have 3D animation?
Oh, yeah.
I want to make a TV series that revolves around this world. It's a world where everything is either dead or undead. And you have to fight for your right to live, let alone exist. Or exist, let alone live. Right? There's a huge scheme that's going on in his world. You know, you've got a bunch of Lich Kings. You've got a bunch of Archangels. They're all fighting for power. You have his companion, Salem. Salem is another Frankenbeast, but this works on a totally different spectrum compared to Crypt. They're both like polar opposites, but they're friends. And then you have their mentor, which is a fox that can bend reality. He actually existed before the world ended up with nothing but dead and undead. The story is very deep. I've had several years to develop it. I've got three books that I've made that I'm kind of going into. I'm very dedicated to this story.
Are they are these books where can we get a hold of them? Are they published or are they?
No, I'm actually trying to keep everything on more of a low profile because I know how volatile our work is in today's society. And it can be easily stolen, taken. I really want to keep the story to myself. I want to make sure that I own the story, not some big brand company. I want to kind of pick it up where I feel like it should leave off. You know, I want to be in full control of that. So these books, I safeguard them. They won't be ready for release until I've finished. I've linked the first two books, and I've linked the second book to the third, and I'm currently working on the third. I have three different arcs. There is the prequel, which features the reality-bending fox. His name is Mazer, and he is a grandmaster at dimensional magic. And he's kind of busy. He's busy protecting the dimension from extra-dimensional beings. When you gain power, a rule here, and I think that this actually kind of plays into life, the more power you have, the more responsibilities you have. So when you have a power to bend dimensions, you have a responsibility to protect it. And that's kind of like his role into the pre-arc. There's the main arc, where it features Crypt and Salem as the main characters. They kind of come into this world as it's already kind of messed up. There's dead everywhere, undead everywhere. Everybody's fighting for their lives. Everybody's hungry. Everybody's trying to eat each other. And they're just kind of trying to make it through. Then there's the after arc, which features a more D&D feel. It has to do with a dragonborn sorcerer who dual wield scythes. And his arc is his village was destroyed by a Lich King. A Lich King sent a Draco Lich to destroy his village, and now he's kind of on this big old adventure with a bunch of party members to try and find out why. So, and who else is better to teach him how to fight than the Necromancer of Aftermath? And that's kind of where I'm at on the books right now. This staff is actually Crypt's bone staff. It's going to be a cornerstone for the story. You're going to see this a lot. I wanted to make a staff that was unique but tied into the story as well. I wanted to make something that when you see it, you know who that character is. You know?
Definitely unique.
So...
Now, real quick, Crypt, just wondering, though, if Jolt's okay with this, can you actually put on your fursuit and do that one voice changer?
I can put on the voice changer, yeah, if you guys would like.
I mean, we've got a couple of minutes, but it's not essential at the moment, though.
But I'm only thinking about this so you can answer questions as Crypt. That's what I'm thinking.
I have a question, Crypt. One question about your world. Since I'm relatively a map freak, have you designed a map of this world yet?
I have not. Although I've kind of in my head, I've kind of developed bits and pieces, but there's nothing really concrete defined. The world in the pre-arc was vastly different from the main arc world because the main arc world is kind of like the messed up version of the pre-arc. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I just was asking because I'm a map freak. I love seeing maps, especially about the fantasy worlds. And if you have a map and I could see like a tiny preview of it, that would be great. But if you don't, that's cool.
Well, just keep in mind, I'm still learning how to animate. I'm very capable at 3D modeling right now, and I'm semi-capable at animating. But I still have texturing, I still have composition, I still have a lot of ways to go. I'm trying to get a team put together so that I can become much more capable and kind of get the ball rolling on this TV show. But it's a lot, and I do not have the resources to pull from that would actually help me put the team together. So a lot of determination going into this, a lot of time, a lot of energy, but I'm still excited for it all the same. I have no doubt in my mind that you guys are going to love this. I can't tell you how many times I've gone in my suit and people just gravitate towards this character. I don't know what it is about him, but people love Crypts, and I know for a fact that y'all are going to love this show.
Well, that's why, you know, even that, you know what, just real quick, could you do that voice changer just for, you know, because it is, we are running out of time.
All right, hold on one second. Then go ahead over here.
Right, just put the head on, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's really what it is.
Like a thing that's hidden in the mic. But I do have, like, one live comment to read and maybe another question, too. So, you're all set? But, yeah, otherwise, I think this is, it's definitely an interesting project. It's quite intriguing. And I'd like to, you know, I'd like to follow it and see where it goes. So, you know, you definitely have something you're working on. So that's great.
All right.
Okay. All right. Ready for the next question? All right. I'll read this live comment as well. Very Trash says, so has been Hotel.
And you want me to answer this question?
Like, yeah, in a way, it's seeing like your world is like Hasbin Hotel-ish, if you're seeing it that way. Is it like that?
My story more than lies less with religion and more with reality. My story reflects the bleakness upon that reality. And show it goes, it's less about being hell and more about being hell-ish. Does that make sense?
Right.
Yeah, that sounds so cool.
Yeah, I follow along.
Personally, I believe that they've done better work with IMP. Hell of a boss.
Okay. Makes sense. And I guess my other question is, you know, speaking of other things, though, would it be easier, you know, like, to get the books out so people can get into the story? Was that, like, would the books come first and then later on the TV series, or the animated series will come after?
Yes. See, the books kind of serve as a script for my TV show. I could publish them, but I would need insurance.
Well, you'd need things like trademarks, copyrights, and...
Exactly. Precisely.
All that paperwork. All that red tape.
It's a headache and a half.
Yeah. And then, you know, and ownership and all that. Like,
I think what I'm going to do, what I could do is I could develop the story, the animation, as I'm finishing the books. Because as I said, I've already got two down. I've linked the two together. I've just got to finish the third. And I've linked the second to the beginning of the third. So we're not that far off. We're on track.
Good, good. All right. Anybody else have any other questions? All right.
I don't think there's anything else.
All right. I guess that's a wrap for this week and for your show. Thank you for sharing us with the project. We'll definitely keep you posted about any updates in the future. Where can we follow this project? Or are you keeping it under wraps until, you know, you've written something that's ready to release?
Right now, the project is... I've been updating my progress on the project through my YouTube channel. If you guys search up Crypt the Creature, you can actually see my YouTube channel there. So I'll be posting videos on, you know, my animations through there. I haven't really gone into the books, as that's kind of like a well-kept secret of mine. I don't want to leave it to any spoilers.
Thank you. Awesome. So we've come to the end of the show. And, you know, like this week, in a way, like it's focused on, you know, creative developments and, you know, yeah. And what we really do with them, like, you know, from what's revealed at E3 and from the anime adaptations and from Crypts Project. It's definitely, that seems to be the theme of the week. And I'd like you guys, one by one, you know, have you got any closing statements, just as an overall right round at the show with? Who'd like to start?
Well, I mean,
in terms of the video game industry, I'd just like to say that while it may seem that like video games have gone down the quality, there is still some like redeeming games that show up here and there. So don't lose hope in the video game. Support your support the developers that really deserve it.
All right, who's up? Who's got another statement?
I am Chris the Creature.
And what did you think of, you know, what we've covered this week? What would you like to say to round out the show?
I honestly would like to see The Witcher. Honestly would like to see that turn out successful. I have the highest hopes for it. I'm also very excited for Elden Ring. I don't know who isn't.
Mm-hmm. All right. Who's next? Mighty Red Wolf?
Can I go last?
All right. Then Noble.
Everyone just remember every shitstorm bad idea that some company releases, you'll always see something worse next year.
I think that's a given considering, you know, considering the way things are handled. All right, then. Now it's your turn, Mighty.
All right, well, you guys should check out Crypt's project. I think it's going to be badass. And, hey, Jill, can I actually finish this off today?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah, bring up the little thing, will you?
It's going to be exciting, guys.
All right, what do you have me to bring up?
You know, the end for the podcast.
All right. I'll just wrap this up then. Once again, guys, I'd like to thank you all for tuning in with us, and I hope you enjoyed the show as much as we did making the show for you guys. As always, you can always find our episodes on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, BitChute, and more platforms further down the line.
Yeah, whatever crawls out for social media.
Sure. Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah. All right. We will see you guys next week.
Farewell. Bye-bye. And until next time.
Bye.